What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor, crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's kachava.com, code FITNESS.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Today's episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by Code Blue Scents. Not only do they have an extensive lineup of deer scents and urines, but they also have some scent elimination products like laundry detergent, field spray, and everything else you need. So before you get started with your hunt this season, be sure to check out Code Blue Scents. This episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast is brought to you by the Moultrie Mobile Feed Hub. How many times have you gone to check your deer feeder only to realize that it wasn't working properly and your well-planned hunt would be a waste of time because there's no telling how long it had been empty or clogged? Well, the Feed Hub solves all of these problems by bringing the power and convenience of cellular technology directly to your deer feeder. With the Feed Hub, you have complete control over feed times, and you can rest easy knowing your feeder is working properly, and you'll be ready for your next hunt. The Feed Hub's universal design means it'll work with most major brands of feeders, and you can learn more information at MoultrieMobile.com. I'm Cameron Stover from HuntingGearDeals.com, and today joining me on the Hunting Gear Podcast is Justin and Jordan from Maven Optics. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Hey, I'm looking forward to learning more about Maven Optics. I've had a chance to listen and gain some information, whether it be trade shows or other podcasts through the years. So looking forward to having a conversation with you guys and learning more about them.
Yeah, let's do it.
So you guys have a unique business approach where you have a direct-to-consumer optics line, which is completely different what we see throughout the industry. But in this hunting industry as a whole, we see that with other brands finding success. So Maven's been in business for quite a while now, and it must be working.
Yeah, that's correct. And I do think unique's a good word because it does present challenges getting optics in front of potential customers so they can experience them. However, it also gives us a bunch of benefits as far as getting a higher quality product to the consumer at a lower cost. So there's some cool advantages there. Obviously, there's some challenges. Through our demo program and going to shows and word of mouth and getting a bunch of guides on the product, you know, I think we've kind of overcome the first big hurdle in that step or in that process. And now I think our reputation's kind of taken off and people are starting to pick up on the fact that they can get a better value for their money.
Yeah, my first exposure to Maven Optics, I think, was a partnership that you guys had with another podcast years ago. And that individual's went on and done some great things. And I won't mention Mark Kenyon's name. But the truth of the matter is, like, that sparked my interest because I heard about it enough. And then the trade show circuit, I got to touch them, feel them for the first time. But outside of those trade shows, like, having firsthand interaction with those products is pretty rare unless you got a hunting buddy. And it seems like all the times, if I've got a guy that's going out west that I'm hunting with, one of them's carrying Maven Optics. So you guys are doing something right.
The show circuit is so critically important for us. And our show operation is pretty robust. We've got a whole section in our receiving bay dedicated to show materials. And we're constantly on the road, constantly looking for opportunities to get to more places. But I think one of the cool things that we've started to see lately, kind of speaking to your point, is that we're hearing, when we get to these shows and we're working the booth, we're hearing less of, "I've never heard of you guys before." And we're hearing more, "Hey, I keep hearing about you guys. I'm excited to look through this stuff." So I think it's definitely had a positive impact on the business. Yeah, and to your point, certainly seems to be working.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. You still wouldn't be in business 11 years later if it wasn't working at some point in time. So if I was a consumer and I'm buying a product online, how is that process working? If I get what I like, maybe I test it at a show, or maybe I get it home and it's not exactly the model that I need. How do we address that?
Yep. So we have a demo program basically for all spotting scopes, binos, and the rangefinders. And so you can either through our website or you can call in, you can basically put a deposit down on an optic so that we're covering our end of it. We'll send that optic to you to use for 2 weeks in your environment so you can test it against whatever you might be replacing or so you can see it in your real world conditions. At the end of that 2 week period, you can either opt to keep that and we just make it a real charge instead of a deposit. You can send it back and put that as a credit towards a new product or return it, which I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but very few of them get returned for a full refund. They either go towards a new one or they keep it.
And those optics that are in the demo fleet are, when you have that option to purchase it, it'll be at a lower price than if it was brand new.
Because
when you send it back, we're going to inspect it, clean it, put it back in the demo box, and then it goes back out to the next person. So if you do elect to keep it, it will be at a slightly discounted price.
Okay, that works. So it kind of gives the consumer a little bit of peace of mind that I'm not stuck with this product if it's not big enough. And that's kind of what I want to get into, is trying to find which binoculars are best for this hunting scenario, because there's a lot of different options on the market, whether it's power, whether it's field of view. And if we can dive into that to try to help somebody make that buying decision for the model, specifically for their type of hunting style.
Yeah, there's all kinds of rabbit holes we can go down there. I think what we always try to steer potential customers or people interested towards is finding something that's very versatile, that, you know, is going to work well for you in 95% of the scenarios you're going to be in. You know, and then the elite user group may have like that niche product that they are looking for like, you know, picking apart, you know, antler size, rings on sheep, things like that, if you're a guide. But I think the vast majority of people are actually going to be pretty well served by, you know, something like an 8 or 10 power bino.
Okay.
And depending on how much money you're looking for, how much time you're going to spend behind them would kind of dictate whether you go with like the mid-level glass or the more premium level glass.
So
yeah, out west, out here, right? So we know what we like to go do every fall. So we're also, Justin, are very fortunate that we can go in our loner bin and test out just about whatever we want to. But one of the more common scenarios that we'll hear is that, you know, I'm somebody that lives in whitetail country and I want to come out and hunt elk in Colorado or wherever every year, every other year. And so having a versatile optic like Justin was talking about, an 8-power, a 10-power, is going to be the ticket. And then as you start to think about special use cases, that's where some of our other products can really shine. A pair of 18-power binos or a 15-power, our big, you know, 80-millimeter spotter, all that kind of stuff. You know, there's different scenarios for all of it, but.
Yeah, so optics are a large expense when you're changing into those specialized optics, larger, higher power, better glass. So if you can find a versatile piece that is dual purpose and you don't have to add that on to that hunt of a lifetime or that one time you're going to go out west and hunt, that's a good opportunity to have as far as increasing your investment up front, knowing that these are can be used out west as well as in the tree stand in the east.
Yeah, I agree completely. And obviously I'm a little bit biased because of the position I'm in, but I would always steer somebody towards, you know, buying nice, not twice. And like the premium level glass has a lot of benefits to people that use them regularly. And I think that's one of the other cool things about optics. It's unlike a lot of your other gear. Like you can use your binos every day. My binos are in my vehicle with me every day, no matter where I go. So that's a little different than like your backpack or your rifle or your boots or anything like that, you know? So it's a piece of gear that I feel, if you break it down on how much you use it, is easier to justify a higher cost.
Yeah. And so you guys, when it comes to the glass, you got in the bono side of, you have a B series and a C series. Can you kind of tell the difference of what those are with the naked eye, or is that something you have to be really experienced with behind the glass to understand?
The C series are fantastic optics for the money. And being a C series, it's going to be slightly lower quality on the glass. They're not going to have the same type of coatings. So there are going to be some differences. And if you come see us at a show or look at them through a booth, it'll jump off the screen at you instantly. Looking through a C series versus a B series, you'll be able to tell. You don't have to be an experienced, you know, power user to be able to see that difference. But at the same time, if you're somebody that's trying to budget out, hey, I want to go out west and hunt deer, and I have to think about gas and hotel and food and tags and where I'm going to go and all this time off of work, and you're trying to budget it out, and you can't do an $1,800, you know, pair of 18 power binos or whatever it is, you can certainly do worse than the C series for sure. They're fantastic value optic. Our B series binos, our S series spotting scopes are the premium line there. And then our RF1 is our premium range finder. I mean, those are all just fantastic products, and you can certainly tell the difference. And then within the B series, there's a couple of different, components inside in terms of prisms and coatings, and not necessarily a difference in quality, but just a difference in how they perform.
So kind of to break that down. So when we kind of break that down with the coatings and stuff like that, without getting too technical, how much of a difference does it make with the quality of the glass basically versus it's not just what's cut out and glued in? There's other processes involved in the manufacturing side of it that make that glass special for binoculars or for higher end use. What is that?
I'm going to let Justin take this one in detail because that's more his wheelhouse. But the only thing I'll say is that we're so incredibly lucky to be in Lander, Wyoming, looking out. You can't see it, obviously, but we've got the Wind River Mountain Range right behind us, and there's a nice herd of elk and a bunch of deer that we can look at right from our parking lot. And so when he's in the product development cycle, we can take the different coatings and the different, you know, product samples and everything, and actually apply it to a real world scenario looking at a herd of elk. And so I would just say that, just to give him props and our ownership team props, we take a lot of care and attentiveness to the coatings and the type of product that we're putting out there in the market. And nothing's going to hit the public until we've probably looked at an actual animal through it. So, and I'll let Justin speak to the specifics about the differences in prisms.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, on a high level, there's pretty massive differences between the C series and the B series, like Jordan was saying. A lot of that comes down to not only the quality of the glass, but the overall component quality. And so by that, I mean, on the C series, you're working with stuff that might not have quite as tight as tolerances for production and manufacturing as the B series. And so when you have tighter tolerances, all that stuff becomes more consistent, more reliable, more well-aligned, things like that. And you'll feel that weight difference when you go from the B to the C series as well. The Bs are heavier because they have higher end componentry. Then when you get into the glass and the actual prism systems, a lot of that is going to be tailored towards user preference, honestly. Like, my eyes are different than Jordan's eyes that are different than your eyes. And so some of the prism systems work better for certain people's use case and their eyes. And you hear field of view a lot of times as like a descriptor on how an optics works. It's always based around the magnification and the objective size and all that fun stuff. The way the prism systems, the way I think about them, is more depth of view. So there's two different primary prism systems. There's one that's in our B2 and B5, and that's going to have a shallower depth of view where whatever's in focus is very detailed and in focus, but whatever's beyond that or in front of that isn't really in focus as much. The stuff that's in the B1, 2, the B6, and the B3 are all going to have a deeper field of view, I guess. So you're getting to see a more wide range as far as depth of what's in focus, if that makes sense. So when you're like glassing a hillside, for me, I prefer that prism system because I can see more in detail as I scan the mountain. Then if you were like, you know, if you, I'm trying to think how to say it. it's all basically preference. Yeah. They both work great. Some of them have a little more advantage towards low light performance, things like that.
The question would be like, if there's less, if it's a shallower depth of field, why would I want that optic? What I've noticed is if you're out here mule deer hunting and you're in the game of picking apart bases of trees and brush, and you're really just being meticulous about how you glass a hillside, whatever you're looking at is going to pop out at you. And then with that prism as well, it reflects light fewer times, which is why you can get slightly better low light performance out of that optic. So with our B2s and our B5s, with that shallower field of focus and the field flattener kind of effect that it has in it, that's, people either love that thing or they don't want it. Like, it's, they love that optic and they will take that to the grave with them. Or Justin and I think are probably more on the B1.2 B2 side with the deeper field of view.
Okay.
So as we break into the binocular lineup, we got the B and the C series. Where are we at as far as price, like a high and a low to get started? And then what's the max we can spend on binos with Maven?
Yeah, so the C series, I believe the cheapest C series is going to be around $325 for just like the little guys, like 7x28s or 10x28s. And that goes up to maybe $550-ish for C4s. Yeah. The B series is going to be considerably higher. So like the small 8x30s or 10x30s are, I believe, $550. And then you can go all the way up to our latest binocular launch that just happened, which is the B5 18 power with a reticle in it, aimed at more like the shooting market and the PRS guys. And I believe that's $1,700 retail.
Interesting. So it has a reticle built into the binocular itself. What is the purpose for that?
Now we're going to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. That was intriguing. It's a new product launch. If I had that breaking news, it'd be hitting right now.
That just launched a couple weeks ago. And like I said, it's geared more at long range shooters, target shooters, PRS guys. And so it's got a reticle in one of the barrels of the binoculars. And so you have four settings on the binocular. Now you have your diopter, like all of our binoculars have. Then you have the main focus that brings both the barrels together. And then you have a reticle leveling feature so that the whenever you get your IPD right and set up correctly, you can level that reticle so that when you call shots, it's accurate. And then you have a reticle focusing feature. So we had, it was a lot of extra work to like get all that in there, but it is absolutely mandatory as far as getting it to work correctly. So now we have, similar to a rifle scope, you could have a reticle that's MOA based or MILRAD or MIL based. We have the same thing going in the binoculars. You have a MOA based reticle and a MIL based reticle. It's not a Christmas tree or anything very detail oriented. It's literally just a T with subtensions so that whoever the spotter is sitting in the binos can call with accuracy whatever correction needs to be made to the shooter.
And where it might benefit somebody in a hunting scenario is if you're in the business of trying to score an animal before you shoot it, whether it's, you know, personal preference or a matter of legality, like moose in Alaska, if you want to know that thing is 50 inches. If you know how, you know, a MIL scope works or an MOA scope works based off of, you know, how big that, you know, the moose is, you can kind of put those pieces together and, you know, based off of how far you are from that moose, you can tell.
Yep. So there's a way to do backwards math based on range. So you could, with a little practice, you could pretty accurately determine like antler size on an animal if it was like an issue of legality, like he's saying.
Oh, interesting. So it basically has an internal measuring device that is custom fitted to whatever the yardage is, because it's going to change, I imagine, as far as your focus side of it. And yeah, it's pretty neat. It's not something I might use because I'm not a big long range gun shooter, but I can imagine there's a good market there of people that are really into that 800 yard, 1,000 yard shooting systems and the tournament side of it. And as far as competition shooting, to where that would be beneficial. So interesting product.
Yeah. I think, you know, with the gain in popularity with events like the NRL Hunter and the PRS stuff, I feel like there's definitely a market there. And there is some other products out there that have reticles built into binos, but the optics quality isn't really there. And so this is still going to have our premium glass, just like our other B5. So the optics quality is high. Plus you have this added tool inside of it.
And that's our general philosophy, is that when we launch a new product, we're not going to do it at the expense of optical quality. At least that's the goal.
Yeah.
So as far as the quality, say for instance, and we'll talk about warranties and stuff like that later, but with the direct-to-consumer model, we're getting a better bang for the buck is kind of the thought process there. So if you guys had to kind of break that down off the top of your head, and I don't want you to do math at the touch of a button, but how much more expensive do you think some of these products were if you had to put them in a box store and things like that?
Oh man, that's a good one. I would say it's slightly case by case, depending on the feature set of the given product. But I'd safely say that you could add, you know, at least another 50% on for, you know, all the dealers and distributors involved in most traditional business models for optics.
Everybody wants to make 40 or 50 points. And so you just take that and bake it in at each level of the chain and go from there. So,
yeah. So, I mean, right off the top of the bat, like I'm a guy that wants to get a good deal. I mean, I'm huntinggeardeals.com. My job is to help connect people with a discounted product and save them money. But looking at this direct to consumer model, right off the bat, I'm already getting a better value for my dollar because I'm not having to pay that middleman any fees or those extra markups. So I really like that side of it. And I can see where we can get into those higher end glasses much quicker for a less amount of money.
Yeah. And going back to the very beginning of like why the shows are so important to us or the demo program is so important to us as consumers. And I'm sure everybody that's on this podcast right now or is listening to this podcast has been a victim of it before, but price does not always correlate to better quality. So higher price doesn't always correlate to higher quality, or better quality. And so what we hear all the time when people come to shows is, oh my God, these are amazing. These are better than, you know, brand X that, you know, I had before or whatever. I would have never thought they would have been that good. And so, I think you're definitely right. We're very proud of our optics, and we are able to get the best possible glass we can source in that B series and put it in there at a price that, is at the very least very competitive.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like today's economy, like everybody needs to, whether you're pinching pennies, we're looking to, if we're going to spend money, we got to get a good return on our investment with the products that we're purchasing. So let's get back into this bino line. So you guys are Western. So do you have a whole lot of experience hunting whitetails in closer range where you only need like 100 yards an in, sometimes maybe 200 at the max with binos?
I grew up in just outside of Jacksonville, Florida. I've fished more than anything, but I've certainly played around with turkeys and whitetails and hogs and stuff down there. If you're, you know, I don't know, if you're somebody that doesn't have any aspirations of coming out west and hunting in big open country, that B3 8x30 is a pretty slick optic. It makes for a great turkey vest optic. It's pretty small, compact. But if you ever look through it, if you get the chance to look through it or try it out on the demo program, I think you'll be pretty amazed at how powerful that optic really is and how well it performs.
Okay, so in the B series, you've got various different numbers, and they're like the 3 series we're looking at now. So what is this 8x30? This is a simplistical term here, but explain to the listener what the 8 stands for and then the 30. So we understand when we're thinking about those numbers.
That's a great question. I think a lot of people don't understand that on the basic level. And so the 8 is just the magnification. So that's 8 times what your eye is currently looking at as far as size and magnification. The 30 is the objective end. So the opposite end that you're looking into of the binos, the objective end, the 30 millimeter is the size of each of those barrels. And so when you do that, it's basically a math problem, and that gives you, you know, the exit pupil and your field of view and all the technical nerdy specs that come along with optics.
Okay, so does the size of that barrel, the 30, does that make a difference on light gathering or anything of that nature?
Yep, absolutely. And so that's where the quality of the glass becomes very apparent, is when you start making that a bigger size and talking about light transmission and field of view and all that stuff.
Okay. So it seems like for me, like anytime I've tested like good glass versus the cheap stuff that I'm running when I was a kid, like I can remember throwing up a pair of binos that were out of my price range for an 18-year-old kid. And it seemed like it was lighter on the mountain that I was looking at through the binos than it was from the naked eye. Is that due to how much light these are capable of gathering, or why does that seem that way?
Yes, so it's probably a combination of the amount of light that's coming through, the coatings on all the different lenses, and then the environmental conditions that you're currently using them in. Okay. So yeah, I've experienced the same thing. You could use entry level or mid level glass and not really get that experience, but you get up to a premium level glass with a good size objective lens, and man, it's pretty amazing to use them at first or last light when a lot of hunters are needing to put those to use.
All right, so back to the size of that barrel, whether it's a 10x30 or a 10x50, what's going to be the difference for me, other than the physical size of the binocular, when I'm looking through them, or my practical use scenario between a 10x30 and a 10x50?
So that's going to be a lot of field of view stuff and light gathering. I think one of the key points, not necessarily related to the size of the objective lens, but making the right decision overall, is you know, the American way is to always want more and need more power, whether it's, you know, your truck or your gun or whatever, in this case, optics. I feel like that's a bit of a misconception. And I think for a lot of hunters, a majority of the time you're spending behind your binos are handheld. And so then you have to take into account the input that you're putting into those binos by, you know, handshake and whatever, how much coffee you've had, or if you're dehydrated, or, you know, your adrenaline's pumping or whatever. And so the higher you go in magnification, the harder those optics become to keep stable when you're hand holding them, if that makes sense. So for me personally, I use 8 power binos for everything. And I can spend a lot of time behind them. They don't fatigue my eye. Because of the high quality of the glass, I feel like that outweighs, you know, the option of maybe running like a higher power, lower quality glass, if that makes sense. So I'd always push somebody towards like a more premium level glass with less magnification, because you can just spend more time behind them and be just as effective.
It's an interesting take, because I'm on that scenario of bigger is always better. So yeah. Maybe not. Maybe I need to rethink my own strategies as well. What causes this eye fatigue? Is it what are we doing wrong when we are suffering from the eye fatigue?
Oh, I don't think it's anything you're doing wrong. It's just something you can't help as a human. Like if you're sitting on the hillside and you're holding something, like there's a given amount of shake that's in your hands, no matter who you are. And you can hold your hat or do any number of tricks, like leaning up against a tree or resting on your backpack, but there's a certain amount of input that's going into the optics. And so that translates to your eye, and then your eye is working harder to try and focus on what you're looking at. And so that all gets magnified as you go up in power with optics.
Yeah. And if you just think about, you know, what you're trying to look at through the binos, if you're trying to pick out a deer from underneath a piece of sagebrush from, you know, 1,000 yards away, you're using your eyes, you're straining your eyes. And we were talking the other day, I came into work, I'd been fishing the day before, I was fly fishing. And like by the end of the day, out sunny, I couldn't focus my eyes enough to tie a knot, because I'd just been looking out on the water all day long, focusing on like the line. And so I just totally killed my eyes, and I couldn't see the fishing line. I couldn't focus. And so if you're in a lower quality optic, or you're doing some really, really hard day long glassing, I mean, your eyes are, you know, no different than muscles, right? They burn them out. You can get that eye fatigue. But having a good quality set of optics will really mitigate that and extend the amount of time you're able to look through them.
So here's a funny question, and I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you ever do any fishing out of a boat?
I used to a lot.
Okay. So I fish with some people in some competitive situations, and it's not uncommon for some of the bass tournament guys to have a pair of binoculars in their boat. If they happen to see somebody catching fish and they're not, they'll throw out a pair of binos and like, what's this guy fishing with? Like, is that in your all's marketing strategy?
We might need to think.
We might have to steer some people that way.
Yeah.
I need to think about that.
I mean, I've talked to some people at shows and stuff that want them for situations like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's funny because I'm getting ready to go fishing this weekend, and the area that we're going into is always just competitive. These fish are spawning. It's just a pain in the butt sometimes. And one of the things that some of those guys carry is a pair of binos in the box to see what color lure is he throwing and things of that nature. And I'm just like, oh, man, maybe I need to throw some in the kayak. So back to the binos. We talked about like the differences in the 10x50s versus the 10x30s, and there's difference in prices, there's different in weights, and there's different in the what we're going to visibly see. But how can we, you talked about the eye fatigue and how to minimize that. What are some ways that if you're spending time behind the glass that we can reduce the eye fatigue? Maybe it's through stabilization of the binos with a tripod or things like that. What would you recommend?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Anything, in my opinion, anything above a 12 power really comes to life when you put it on a tripod. Like they go from being pretty hard to spend much time behind between and going all the way up to, I would rather have a pair of 15s on a tripod than a spotting scope most times. So,
yeah, we've got a pair of 18 towers out in the lobby right now on a tripod. And if you tried to freehand those and look out our window right now, it'd be pretty tricky. But if we put it on a tripod and you were looking through, the elk would pop out like Jiffy Pop popcorn. It makes a huge difference. So, and then when you get down to the lower magnification range, just, you know, easier to handhold, you know, don't have as much of that shake like Justin has said. And so certainly helps, but I'll even put 8 or 10 powers on a tripod too, if I'm really going to be doing some extended glassing. And just to kind of, I had this thought just a second ago, just kind of want to circle back. When we're talking about the 8x30s versus the 8x50 or the 10x30s and the 10x50s, I don't want folks listening to think that it's going to be like pulling a blackout curtain over if you switch to the 30 millimeter objective when you're in the woods. It's you're certainly going to gather more light with the 50s, but you're not going to be, you know, hung out to dry if you decide to go for the 30. So you just got to figure out, do you want that incremental you want incrementally better light gathering, or do you want an incrementally smaller optic to tote around in the woods? It should be like the two things that you weigh out.
Yeah, because after looking at them online, like there's a big difference in the size that you're going to be packing around. I don't see too many tree stand hunters carrying around that large of binos. We need something smaller, compact, that can fit in a pack or sit or in a bino harness that's not in the way when we're here to draw our bow. But if I'm out west, like I don't care to have that extra bulk when it comes to sitting behind the glass and gathering light.
I see it kind of both ways. I choose to run a physically smaller, lighter weight pair of binos because I know that when I leave my truck in September in archery elk season and I leave in the dark, I'm not coming back till the dark. So I'm carrying those things with me for days straight, you know? And we have a couple guys here who do the same thing. They hunt out west, they hunt hard, they hunt all day long, and they carry the little 8x30s because the performance is there and the weight is not. So they might not be able to like pick apart a bull at 4 miles away, but they can tell that bull is worth going after. So,
yeah. And that's usually all you need. Like, I don't usually need to know if that bull's got, he's 330 or 335. I need to know if, am I going to kill it or am I not going to try to kill it?
Yeah. Can I get to him and can I put him in my freezer?
Yeah. So when it comes to getting the most use out of your binos, like you talked about being able to, justification of spending a little bit more money on hiring glass and getting the most use out of them. What kind of accessories would we need to utilize? Maybe it's a tripod or things like that to get a full year's worth of use out of them in different scenarios.
Yeah. Again, I think that's, you know, pretty user case dependent. I think a tripod would serve a lot of people well, especially if you get over that 8 or 10 power. We make some cool accessories that are called clear lens filters. So on the objective end of the optic, so the opposite end you're looking through, you can thread in a clear lens filter. And essentially it's like putting your phone in a case. It's just one other layer of protection over the objective lens, which is the expensive part. So for anybody carrying them in a bino harness, you've probably experienced trees, brush, dirt, whatever, getting in your bino harness, and then you're not looking down because you're looking at whatever you're hunting, cramming your binos in there, and they instantly go into all that junk in the bottom of your harness. So this just kind of keeps all that environmental stuff off of the important parts. And they're relatively cheap. I think they're $20 a pair or $40 a pair or something. Yeah. Pretty small. So it's kind of just a little added insurance. So that, you know.
And still really good glass.
Yeah, you won't notice any difference or degradation in performance. So that would help in environmental conditions like rain and stuff like that too, like keep all the environmental stuff off the important things.
Yeah, and easy to remove. So if you're out in the woods and they get muddy and rainy, and it's just, they're kind of like, you can pop them off if you really need to get glass and then clean those later and reinstall them. They just thread right on and off.
Yeah, I'm kind of wishing the binos that I had through the years that had that kind of feature. Now, is that just screw in? Or does that pop in and out?
Just push right in. Yeah, threads in.
Yeah, it's just like threading a sunshade on the end of a rifle scope or something.
Man, that would be nice to have because, I can think of a pair of binos that hit the dirt because of not having that feature.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
As far as other any kind of other accessories that somebody might consider when they purchase binos, whether it be the tripod or something to help with the glassing side of it, or another sunshades or something. I don't know if you guys carry those or not.
We do have some little accessory like shields that kind of cover light coming in from the side of your eye, kind of like the super cool looking old sunglasses that have the sunshades coming in. I don't think many people run them because they don't fit great in some bino harnesses maybe, or it's just an extra added part, but we do offer those. And if you've ever put on a pair of those old sunglasses where you can't see the light coming in from the side, it's actually really nice, and you don't realize how much your eye is trying to like pick up on the stuff that's outside of what you're looking at. So it is a good way to just like let your eye work more efficiently, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So would it help maybe reduce that eye fatigue in that scenario?
It could a little if you had like, you know, depending on sunrise or sunset or weird angles of light coming in, for sure. And then the other one that's a little more back to like personal preference, for anybody in the hunting world, like you're out in the elements, so like having a good bino harness that keeps your optics protected from the environment and also allows you to use them very efficiently, most of the time quietly, one-handed, whatever the case might be, that's a good investment. And it's also a little extra padding if you're, you know, if your binos fall out of the truck door or whatever when you jump out or stuff like that. So
and our binos are going to come with eye cups to protect the eye caps, cover up the eyepiece, objective caps to cover up the objective side, a neck strap, and a microfiber pouch. So when you get that box, if you just want to hang them off your neck and keep them protected with the cups, you can do that, and then throw it in that microfiber bag and throw it in your backpack, and they'll stay protected that way. But definitely recommend getting a nice vinyl harness if you're going to be trucking around and using them, you know, pretty frequently.
Okay. Say, for instance, that I don't take real good care of them, and maybe it's time for a warranty situation. What kind of warranty does Maven Optics offer?
Yeah, so that's a very good point, and we offer a unconditional lifetime warranty. We felt that was very important based on the direct-to-consumer business model, because you can't just walk into your sporting goods retailer and like swap them out or whatever. So we knew that given the price point and the performance that we were offering, if we could match that with a lifetime guarantee warranty, you know, things would probably go over pretty well. And I would say the unconditional part's very true. We want you to get out there and use them. They're designed to be used in all kinds of environments, and we realize that that comes with some potential consequences. And you know, if you're spending, you know, $1,000 on a nice pair of binos, having a little insurance in your back pocket to go use them how you want is nice.
And we've got a pretty cool warranty repair facility or space in our facility. And you'll receive a level of customer service from our repair folks that you might not get other places. You get an email letting you know what's going on with the object, what they found, how we're going to go about fixing it, and then probably a general estimation of when you can expect that optic to be returned to you.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're making that kind of investment in high quality glass, having a good warranty like that you stand behind is very beneficial when it talks to the consumer and says they stand behind their product and I'm not risking my investment when I make this purchase. So that's a plus on my end when I'm looking to buy and spend big money on high end products.
Yeah. And we're very proud about the turnaround time that we were able to do on these optics. It varies based off of the damage and what needs to be done on it, but it's usually a relatively quick turnaround. Meaning if you got it in, you know, now's the time of year to do it before hunting season rolls around. But it's not like you have to mail them in and then they go on a plane or a boat to another country somewhere. And, you know, God knows when you'll get them back, but and it's transferable. So if you buy them and give them to your kid, warranty's good for him too.
Awesome. So if I'm looking to buy a set of binoculars, whether it be my first pair of Mavens or hopefully my last pair, because I can just keep utilizing them for years to come. If I'm looking at the B series and the C series and I'm undecided on what I'm willing to spend, what's going to convince me as a consumer to go ahead and spend the extra money and buy the premium version versus the better value version?
Yeah, I think if you were to take advantage of the demo program we offer, and let's say get like a 10x42 in the C series and a 10x42 in the B series, and use them wherever you're at and like your conditions outside your house or where you hunt. If you use them in enough different conditions, like last light, first light, things like that, middle of the day, snow, it's pretty apparent the differences. Like Jordan hinted at earlier, the C series are great for, you know, your average user and 90% of the guys out there, but the difference is pretty awesome in those low light and first light, last light scenarios with the premium glass.
Yeah. So I think if I was talking to a friend, you know, and a friend asked me, should I get the C series or should I get the B series? You know, I just would ask them, you know, how important, you know, is it to you in you know, hunting wise, right? Are you just going to go up and on Thanksgiving weekend to deer camp once a year and then, you know, or dust off the rifle real quick and make sure you can still hit a paper plate at 100 yards and do it just over the weekend. And you don't have a lot of time to be out in the woods. C series is probably gonna be just fine for you. I mean, it'll be a great optic for that user. But if you eat, sleep, and breathe hunting like we do, and it's super important to you, then I think you'll over time realize that the value of the B series is there and beneficial to you.
Yeah, a little bit earlier, I said something about, you know, optics are, in my mind, a bit different than some of the other gear that a lot of hunters and outdoorsmen use, because you can use it every day. And so when you have a high quality pair of binoculars, using them is very pleasurable. Like it's fun. Like you see stuff you've never seen before. I really enjoy taking them outside. Like I said, where I live, I'm lucky enough to like look at wildlife through my kitchen window. And so I literally use my binos every day. And for me, that investment in that more premium level glass pays off in dividends, you know, not only during hunting season, but every day of the year.
I'm huge into archery and going to archery tournaments and doing the 3D circuit and everything like that. And having a nice quality pair of binos, I mean, I use them all the time. And being able to see those rings on a 3D animal or whatever, and then transition that into hunting season. Yeah, hard for me to imagine going back, but.
Yeah, it's like a lot of things. If you're excited about it, you're going to use it more. And so when you make that, you make that investment, you make that decision to like buy the good glass, like I guarantee you're going to find yourself using it more than you thought you would.
Yeah, so I've had a chance to test the C series once before, and it was a used pair. It wasn't a brand new pair off the show floor. It was something a buddy had, and I was like, hey, man, I want to get my hands on them. And he'd been running them for a long time, had beat the crap out of them from the East Coast to the West Coast. And they were great. Like, I was really impressed with the quality of the lens, the quality of the optic that it was able to basically take the beating and that he had put them through from years of harsh, rugged terrain. And Cole's hard on equipment. And he did and that's just the truth of it. And they still held up. So I was impressed with my first experience with Maven optics. And I'm kind of looking forward to trying a couple more options in the future.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the C series are. I don't want to make it sound like we're, you know, poo pooing on the C series at all. It's a fantastic lineup, great set of optics in that series. And in fact, when I go out with a spotter, I'm 9 times out of 10 I'm going to take the CS1 just because of the form factor and the value there. I mean, the bang for the buck on that CS1 is incredible. And I've got a video that my buddy got of me, you know, stalking my mule deer this year, and he was about 1,000 yards away, and you could see the antler points and the arrow going through him, and super cool little video, but that was from the CS1. So I don't want to make it sound like the C series is not something you should consider. I think we're just so incredibly proud of what our B series and our S series spotters have been able to accomplish on the kind of the world stage, and the product that we've put out there, that we get kind of excited talking about them, because they are a super premium optic at an incredible value.
Yeah, and that direct-to-consumer model allows us to take advantage of that at a better price. Father's Day is just around the corner. I don't know when this podcast is going to be published, but if I'm looking to spend a little bit of money for Father's Day and get a really nice gift, Maven Optics offers customization for the optics. What all goes into customizing binos?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the customization is going to be, they're super cool, but that's going to be all the appearance of the optic, not the actual internals. But by all means, you can choose different colors. You can choose different armor. You can have custom engraving in it, like if it's a gift for somebody, things like that. And we do usually see an uptick around Father's Day and Christmas and things like that for custom stuff like that. And if you've ever seen a pair in person, they're pretty cool when they're laid out, right? So it's getting nice.
Most of them are pretty cool. Yeah. Some people get a little wonky with their color selection.
Yeah,
I can imagine so.
Yeah. As long as they like it, then that's what matters.
What's cool, though, is you can go to our website and go to that custom builder, and you can pick whichever optic frame you want, and you can select all the options and see it in real time in front of you, so you know what it's going to look like, and you can play with all the different layouts before you ever purchase it. So, and it's, you know, I think it's a couple week turnaround time if you do a custom optic.
Yep, that was going to be my question, is what's the time frame differences as far as getting your product that's custom versus out of the box, off the shelf stuff?
Yeah, so anything on our website that's in our stock colors, which is the gray and orange and the black and gray, if that's in stock, that means it's in our warehouse and can ship within 24 hours. If it's custom, because we build the optics in small batches, that's how we have the ability to do the customs in the first place. So it is some extra stocking of inventory and stuff like that. But as soon as you hit submit, we're going to push that order through the system, and we're going to have guys start building that custom unit for you. And it should be in-house here and shipping to you within a couple weeks.
Oh, so you guys are assembling everything in-house, doing your warranties and all that stuff?
No, that's not. We have an assembly center in Southern California that does all the custom stuff for us. Okay. There's just some overhead and logistics as far as like clean rooms and equipment for nitrogen purging and things like that.
And it looks like here pretty soon we're going to be expanding our production capabilities here in Wyoming to bring more of that production in-house. So can't say too much more than that, but we'll be really excited to make a formal announcement on that front later.
Okay. Yeah, I would imagine that it would cost more money in California to operate than it would have been in Wyoming, just because of like taxes and that side of thing. But it's probably a discussion that's over our pay grades.
Yeah, you know, we were able to leverage some stuff that was kind of already in place, is basically the short end of the story.
Yeah.
So the other side of it is, as great as Wyoming is for guys like Jordan and me, like we are in the actual middle of nowhere. So, like, there's really, like, no true next day, overnight, anything out of here. So, like, the logistics end of it can be kind of hard when you're in the middle of a bunch of sage.
Yeah. If we want to get a package to the next town over, it goes to Denver.
Yeah, that I can see that being a hurdle. I've driven through some of those areas, and it's just like, my gosh, am I going to find a gas station? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the next town, and then you get there and you're like, wow, this was worth a trip.
Yeah.
So, I definitely envy you guys for where you guys are located in the world or in the United States because of the beauty that you have in your backyard.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you could drive, I don't know, 3 or 4 different directions out of town and go for 90 miles in most cases in any of those directions without really encountering many stoplights or definitely no 4-lane roads. So I love it. Like the openness really grows on you after a while.
So what, in the wintertime, for sure.
Yeah. So what keeps Maven centered in that area of Wyoming?
That goes back to like the the original founding of the company 11 years ago, like the three founders that we all affectionately call the dudes, they all loved this area for different reasons. And most of that came down to the community and where they wanted to raise their families. And so they each had some struggles in like the careers and the job roles they were in. And they came together as a group of friends, literally around a campfire and some beers. And they're like, how are we going to make this happen? Like, we want to stay here. We want to be successful. We need to provide for our families. We want to be a part of this community. And so that's how this was all born, man. And they've put their heart and soul into it. And you can tell like they're very passionate about what they're doing. And I think it is very easily recognized by people around here of like how much effort these guys have put into building what is now known as Maven.
Yeah, that's impressive when you see the story from foundation to present day, and those same goals that were set in the foundation of the company are being played out into today's environment, work environment, and things of that nature. So, very respectful.
Yeah, we have such a great group of folks here. Everybody that I work with is just a genuinely good human being. Like, there's not a day that I wake up and I'm not excited to come to work. And that probably sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true. You know, yesterday we just had a big family lunch, we call it, on Tuesday. So everybody gets together and one department's responsible for cooking up a bunch of meals. Every Friday afternoon, we close up shop half an hour early and play a wild game of putt-putt amongst ourselves. Just an opportunity. You know, I work in the back of the house on the logistics side, moving boxes around. Justin's, doing his thing. We've got customer service folks. We've got the owners. We've got people upstairs in the marketing department. And so Friday's an opportunity for us to get together and, you know, just kind of all hang out as a team. I'd be kind of in our own lane throughout the rest of the week.
Yeah. Man, you can't beat that. Having a work environment like that. And I know most of our listeners are going to be listening, but there's a dog in the background too. So
yeah, he's sleeping over there.
Yeah, it's a dog friendly place for sure.
Yeah. Usually I've got a baby in the back. But my mom's here to babysit today, so it worked out pretty good. But there's just a black bear standing there now. So yeah, it works out pretty good.
I think Jax's dad is a black bear, actually.
Yeah, he's about the same size of this bear that's on the wall.
Yeah.
He's a little less furry.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Yeah, one last question for you. I'm coming to Wyoming. I'm leaving from the East Coast. I'm coming to Wyoming. Which pair of Maven glasses, binos, I should call them, so everybody's on the same page, are you going to grab to hand me out of the demo pile and say, use these? These are my favorites.
I want to hear what Justin says.
Oh, man. I'm gonna hand you what I carry with me every day because I believe in them, and that's the B12 and the 8x42 fit configuration.
Yeah, I'll hand you the B610s and then put you on the spot.
16 B6 10x50.
Yep,
10x50. Okay, guys, that's all I needed to know. Like, now I know where I can kind of start my focus when building a system, and hopefully we can talk about some Maven products in the future on another podcast episode. And what are some of the other products that Maven makes besides binos?
Yep. So we have a lineup of the binos that we just discussed, and then we do spotter scopes, rifle scopes, and rangefinders. And so in all of those product lines, we, similar to the binoculars, we have a mid-level and then our premium level. And then we have some reticle eyepiece options we just launched for spotter scopes to go with those reticle binos. We have a whole wide variety of rifle scopes, everything from, going on top of your 22 to shooting PRS matches. And then we have a couple different range finders based on performance and cost.
Okay. And if you have anybody listening to this that is interested in the RS 1.2, that rifle scope, those went gangbusters for us, and we've been out of stock for a little bit now, but word on the street is we're getting closer to having them. So we can talk more about those, but that is just a fantastic rifle scope. So I assume you only have a couple people listening in that know about it and wanted to hear like when they're going to be back in stock. So
it's always keep an eye
on the website daily is what I would tell you.
that works. So I'll drop a link in the show notes where they can find those, especially the binoculars as well. Where else can the consumer connect with Maven Optics, whether it be social media or your website?
Yes, so you can look at anything on our website, obviously purchase anything. Any of the stuff that's in the demo program is available there as well. We always have somebody answering the phones that's very knowledgeable about all this stuff. And then for anybody that happens to be in the Lander area, we have a showroom that's open to the public 5 days a week. So you can walk in and look at any optic that you're interested in. We can go outside and run you through like how to use them, do some side-by-side comparisons, all that fun stuff.
And if you come through town on the weekend, our friends over at Wind River Outdoors have a all of our stock as well to look at. So they're just a couple hundred yards down the street from us.
All right, guys. I was getting ready to type it in to see how far away you are, but it's only 23 hours and 47 minutes.
Yeah,
so
next month, we get there in a day.
Yeah.
No, I like to sleep, man. I get behind the wheel. I'm not the best. I'm a terrible passenger, and I've got a time limit on what I'll be willing to drive per day. So if I'm back in the area, I hope to stop in, check things out. Until then, I'll check out the website. And I will catch you guys at a show probably this summer. Somebody will be representing Maven at one of the shows I'll be at here shortly.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity to have us on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey guys, I appreciate you. Again, Justin, Jordan, thank you guys.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. And this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.